2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Go to DFSArmy.com, use the promo code PODCAST. That gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 per billing cycle. That's each month. With that, you get 24/7 access to the DFS Slack chat, which is making waves all across the industry. You get to talk with all of our like-minded players and me and Keith Hall, who's on today's podcast, by the way. You get access to Keith's cheat sheets as well. Also, updated projections, and of course, the Domination Station, which does all the work for you if you're busy with your 9-to-5 throughout the day. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. I am your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Also, the same on Instagram and all those other fancy sites. You can find Keith Hall at Boomers DFS Daddy. So Keith, boy, Westbrook gets his, was that, 16th technical on Sunday night there. So if it's not rescinded, he gone tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's gone. I highly doubt that that one gets rescinded. There were some other ones that should have been rescinded that weren't. So if this one's rescinded, I'm going to, like, be shocked. Make no mistake about it. It's kind of one of those things that you deal with. Westbrook plays with a lot of fire, a lot of passion, and kind of like a little KD here. He doesn't like to be told that he's wrong, and
Any of us do.
It's kind of one of those things that you just deal with. I don't see him playing tomorrow night, which, I mean, it couldn't have come at a better time. Now he gets, because we got San Antonio on Thursday. So just let Norris Cole kind of take over, get some more of these guys acclimated. I'm more worried about our performances on the road.
Okay.
We haven't won a road game. I don't know if you've known this or not, but we haven't won a road game since January.
I knew it was the last, I believe, 8-game losing streak on the road, they said, on the ESPN telecast last night.
Yep, 8 of our last 9. It is absolutely just a complete shit show when we're on the road. And it's not like we're getting blown out every single night. Like, we had, we were down double digits in Portland, and we came back and we made that a game, had a chance to win it, and then sent it into overtime. And Russ missed a wide open three, which, that's not his game. But, I mean, he's definitely capable of hitting those, so he should have hit it, in my opinion. There's a couple winnable games coming up that we're going to need to take care of, so... the big one's going to be against San Antonio on Thursday. Hopefully Norris Cole can lead us to victory tomorrow night, and we can really, really, really start to make a push. Because it's not like the Clippers are making a push or anything either. Like the Jazz are making a push or anything, although they did have a nice come from behind win last night. So
sure. You know what this all comes back to? This is just payback for the one time that Russell Westbrook threw the ball at the ref's face and it just clocked him. And
he didn't do it on purpose. Like that shouldn't have been a T.
Now I'm starting to wonder.
They didn't even rescind that T, if I remember correctly.
I'm starting to wonder now, because it seems like he's got a thing about throwing the ball at the ref. So We'll just let the league office do the dictating. 12 games on tonight's slate, which is one of our more massive ones of the entire year. Of course, we're running late today because why wouldn't we on this 12 game slate? But let's see, just get into it.
Yeah, no kidding. But I want to say it's all my wife's fault. Now, she meant well.
Yes.
She had a good heart. She really did.
Okay.
She moved KD from his crib to his pack and play so she could get ready for work. Okay. Because he likes to watch her get ready for work, so he knows that mommy's there and stuff like that. Well, he falls back asleep. So what does she do? She lets me sleep. Well, I slept in an extra hour. So we've got it a little bit. So she meant well, but it is all her fault.
You know, you got to sleep an extra hour today. I went to the Belmar St. Patty's Parade yesterday, so I couldn't use as many hours of sleep. But I was home, tucked away, nice and early. Not any school based holidays going back to back on this one. So a lot of people were pretty responsible in my age group yesterday. So that works well.
Let's have some fun today, shall we?
Indeed. All right, let's start off in the Magical Kingdom, where the Knicks travel to the Orlando Magic, where they just played on Wednesday night, which is absolutely weird. Anywho, so it started out as a pick'em, has the Magic now at a 1.5 favorite. Total here, 209.5 on this one. Both teams played yesterday, so on the back end of back-to-back. Knicks do lead the season series 2-1. In terms of injuries, Maurice Noir, he's going to be out for the Knicks with the ankle injury. And then for the Magic, Nikola Vucevic, questionable with the Achilles, sore Achilles. And then you got Jody Meeks out with the thumb. I use a lot of Magic players, and it worked to my benefit yesterday. Aaron Gordon, Terrence Ross, Evan Fournier, all priced quite cheap and getting plenty of minutes to go along with it.
You missed the main one there.
Yeah, but he's a separate entity.
Yeah, DraftKings, you've been pretty on the ball all year long. You dropped the ball today, buddy. Or guys, you really did. You knew this was a possibility. make no mistake about it. I can already give you one of the free squares today for Mr. David Alvarez's article. He's got the initials of BB. So,
well, it does depend on if Vucy is gonna be out. So that is why
I don't see
entity.
Him playing. Just because as an organization, especially somebody who holds the value of Nikola Vucevic, I wouldn't mess with an Achilles. We've seen what it's done to, guys like Wesley Matthews, Brandon Jennings. They haven't kind of been the same since they popped their Achilles. I would not do that, because then there goes all trade value that you have in the offseason. But that's me looking from a common sense role. I sit the guy down, let it, I pull the Boston Celtics route. Where they did it with Avery Bradley. So I would do that, but that's me. So that's all going to depend and hinge on, Vucevic, obviously. If Vuce is playing, then I think he's a great play for tournaments. Wouldn't have a ton of exposure to him, but I would still have exposure to him, just because nobody's going to have exposure to him. If he's out, obviously, Bismack Biyombo becomes the default chalk center of the day, and there's nothing that we can do about it. So he's min price on both sites, and this is a really good matchup. As far as Terrence Ross, FanDuel is – okay, this is a guy that's got in the five games since the trade deadline, since the All-Star break, that the Magic have played 32, 29, 16, 37, 25. Yet he's still $4,500. Compared to the 57 on DraftKings. I mean, that's a huge price discrepancy.
Yeah.
Maybe this is why I haven't been winning on FanDuel lately. Is because the fact that, I try to get cute, and FanDuel, you should just plug in you know, all the stupid people. And I mean stupid by not stupid as in players, just stupidly underpriced. I like Derrick Rose in this situation for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've seen an uptick in the minutes without Brandon Jennings. He's more of a cash game play just because I don't think he has a ton of tournament upside. He hasn't hit 40 since that Oklahoma City game. He's been right there around that 32 to 35 mark. And the issue is that even though he's playing the minutes, he's not putting up the peripheral stats. So I don't think he has a ton of tournament upside, and he's priced up now at $6,500 on FanDuel. He's 63 on DraftKings. So I think for cash games he's good, but probably not for tournaments. Just don't see a ton of profit potential there. And I really don't know what to do with the rest of this. I mean, Kristaps, his price has gone up a little bit now. Aaron Gordon, his price has gone up a little bit now. Melo, he seems disinterested.
He's a douche.
I don't see a lot of tournament upside in this game other than Bismack Biyombo if he gets the start.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, again, you know, going back to the all the value that the Magic have. I mean, Terrence Ross, you know, he's a guy that's putting up a ton of points consistently, getting well over that 5X value mark. Aaron Gordon's played over 30 minutes the last two games. He's a great price. You know, and again, Evan Fournier is not necessarily giving us tournament upside, but he is still playing around 34 to 38 minutes. So I think all three of those guys, and of course, Bismack Biyombo, who you had to just squeeze into that discussion. I was going to talk about him all on his own. But, yeah, in this matchup, I think all the tournament value lies with the Orlando Magic, and it's not even a question. You know, if we're going to – you know, for Kristaps Porzingis, you got Willie Hernangómez back for the Knicks. Even if he does, or even if they are cautious with him on the back end of a back-to-back, he's still got to go up against Bismack Biyombo, which, you know, he's still a pretty good defender. So it's not like it's a good matchup to be paying up for all that money. So, again, Magic or bust in this one.
Yeah. It's it's kind of one of those situations. Like, I think a lot of people are going to try to, you know, force feed this total in there. You know, it's a 209 total. It's close to 210, which is, you know, in today's NBA, that's kind of like the new 200 that we used to look for. And, you know, it's a close game. I think outside of a game stack, which I don't really see paying a lot of dividends because it's one of the lower totals of the night, I'm really kind of off of it.
All right. Fair enough. All right, let's get to the next one here. Miami Heat at the Cleveland Cavs. Opened up as a 7-point favorite. Did the Cavs. Now has gone all the way up to 9. Money line here at minus 455 in this one. Over-under at 216.5. And in terms of what we got here, the teams have split the season series. Cavs won by 30 earlier in the season in Cleveland. And then, of course, the Heat drubbed the LeBron and Kyrie-less Cavs on Saturday. On this one, you got no injuries for the Heat, but for the Cavs, Iman Shumpert is questionable. He had a chipped tooth. He left Saturday's game. Then, of course, you got Kevin Love, who's out, and then J.R. Smith is also out, but nearing a return here. So on Friday night, I did that whole intro right there with hiccups on the cusp of happening, and it didn't go me. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving both went for 60-plus FanDuel fantasy points in Atlanta on Friday, and then, you know, they both rested on Saturday. You know who called that one? This guy. I like the narrative here for both players. You know, you're going to have, you know, these guys trying to – come back with something here against this Heat team, which crushed the Cavs there on Saturday. Of course, without their best players, you know, other than LeBron and Kyrie, I don't see where you could possibly go from the Cavs in this one.
Tristan Thompson going up against Hassan Whiteside. Look, people don't like to – I don't know why Hassan Whiteside has this stigma of being, you know, a tough matchup for centers. But I've kind of been
targeting... Because he blocks a lot of shots, that's why.
Okay, that's fantastic. So he's a one-trick pony. You know, I've been targeting, you know, Whiteside with centers all year, and, you know, it's been paying off. you know, Tristan Thompson's never one of those guys that's really sexy to play. And he's kind of priced down a little bit. I mean, he's 5,800. You know, we've seen him now, granted, especially, you know, in tournaments, I know he's not going to have, you know, the ownership because he just put up a 20 fantasy point spot against him. But, I mean, the dude is, in my opinion, a great tournament play. I think he performs better, obviously, with Kyrie and LeBron out there on the court, just like the rest of the Cavs do. I thought it was a good idea to fade the Cavaliers on Saturday when they played, just because the spacing is completely different, and that kind of paid off. I think the only one that was really worth playing was Channing Frye, if I'm not mistaken.
Darren Williams hit his value mark.
Yeah, Darren Williams. I forgot about him. I'm sorry. But, you know, Channing Frye put up a 30 spot in 23 minutes. You know, Darren
Williams.
Which is
interesting because he's usually the one that does very well with LeBron and Kyrie.
Exactly. You know, I was kind of on Darren Williams, and that was about it. And, yeah, I'm not going to Kyrie at 9,400. I can't do it. And I'm not going to LeBron at 11,000. I'm probably going to take Stan and fade both of them today, to be completely honest.
Yeah, it makes sense. If you're going to look at how this game goes, you know, with the home and home series, usually whatever happens in that first game of the series, the exact opposite happens. But, I mean, it's just lining up for a big ass kicking in this one. And you can see Miami probably going to, you know, not have enough in the tank to deal with the Cavs tonight. So if that's going to be the case, you know, on the other side of the ball for the Heat, this could be, I mean, I don't know when isn't a good spot for Tyler Johnson, but if this does turn into a little bit of a blowout here, I mean, he is blowout proof, but I don't see anybody better dollar for point.
Yeah, I agree. But we say that he's blowout proof. He still only played 26 minutes in the blowout. I mean, they weren't running him out there. They ended up running Josh Richardson out there at the end of the game, running the point. so that was kind of something that we didn't expect. Now, I don't see that happening again tonight. And I agree with you, Tyler Johnson, you know, still under $6,000 is a great option. In my opinion, not only for tournaments, but for cash games as well.
All right. Anything else from that Heat team before we move on?
What are we doing with James Johnson?
I guess you could play him. He was a guy that kind of got spared a little bit in that blowout on Saturday. He had a very good first half, and then, you know, I think he just got some minutes spelled. And, you know, I don't think it's anything massive to worry about.
Yeah,
he only played 18 minutes.
Yeah. So that's why I was asking is, you know, I'm wondering, on a 12-game slate, we don't really have to worry about a ton of ownership percentage. In my opinion, the way I'm going to kind of tackle today is you can play Bismack Biyombo if he gets the start and Vooch is out at chalk at 40, 50, 60, 80%, whatever he's going to be, and not even have to worry about the rest of your lineup being chalk. Because
95.
Yeah, 95%. And make no mistake about it, after he went for what, you know, 40 yesterday, he's gonna be chalk if he gets the start. So
yeah, without a doubt. Man, minimum price on FanDuel. Why, I mean, come on.
On both sides. I mean,
oh
yeah, that's what I was saying. They dropped the ball on this one. Now I expected that from DraftKings. From FanDuel. I didn't expect it from DraftKings, so I mean, I expected him to jump at least $500. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. So,
yeah.
So we can go.
Yeah. All right. Next game here, we got the Bucks at the Sixers, and this one opened up as a 3-point favorite for Milwaukee, has gone up to 4.5 here. Money line started at -150 for them too. That jumped up to -185. Total in this one, 213. Interestingly enough, the Sixers won both meetings of this season series, both games in Milwaukee. They kicked ass in. Well, the first one anyway, that was a 19-point win on Martin Luther King Day, and then they came back a couple days later and won by five. Michael Beasley and Jabari Parker, of course, out for the Bucks, but for the Sixers, yeah, Jahlil Okafor is doubtful with that knee injury, so that should open up some more minutes for Rashawn Holmes. He's probable with a little bit of a hamstring injury. Gerald Henderson is also probable. And, of course, don't forget Joel Embiid out for the season with the knee injury there. I'll start with the Bucks here. So Greg Monroe got kitted on Saturday night. It was actually Spencer Hawes who came in and stole away all of Monroe's gold. It could have been a massive night for me, given that I, on the early slate on Saturday, being that I called the, you know, LeBron and Kyrie being out, and it was just only a little minimal chip away. You expect Monroe to get back to his normal allotment of minutes in this one?
That would require me knowing what's going through Jason Kidd's mind.
And that's a good point.
That I have no idea. So, it's who knows. I'm willing to take a shot in a couple tournament teams, but nothing really more than that. So that's kind of the issue that I have with that one.
Okay.
I'm more worried about what we're going to do with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I was worried. I guess we can parlay this one then, because I was wondering if we're going to see Chris Middleton as an automatic plug and play here.
Isn't this 3-4 for the Bucks?
It is, yes.
Do you think three that Middleton for a lot plays? I know he played for the first time on the back end of a back-to-back.
Second time.
Oh, is it the second time? Sorry, I thought I saw some place where it was the first time. But, you know, I don't know. It's holy crap, there's a lot of 3-4s tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look, that what you bring up is a good point. And, you know, I expect Middleton to be just as popular as Bismack Biyombo tonight. So, yeah, he's at 5,600 on both sites. It's going to be tough to pass up, but, you know, given what you say here, that could definitely sway some thinking.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Chris Middleton sit. I wouldn't be surprised to see him play, though. And I wouldn't be – because it's Jason Kidd, I wouldn't be surprised to see him sit, see him play, or see him play and play limited minutes. And that's kind of the situation. I'll have a little bit of exposure to him, but I'm not going to have a lot.
Well, in his last three games, keep in mind with Middleton, you know, he's played 31, 33, and 30 minutes. You know, he's performed admirably in all three of these games. So, you know, not a bad spot for him. There also is the chance that he does get some Robert Covington defense. That would suck, but I think there are some decent things to look at here in terms of him being a fade candidate. So, good thinking. Now, with that, I think, you know, a lot of people were worried about Giannis Antetokounmpo and what was happening to him. I just feel like, you know, he's a guy that really can't handle, you know, the entire load on his shoulders. You know, he needs a little bit of this help, and I think we've seen that since Middleton's been popping up with bigger games. You see, you know, Antetokounmpo kind of getting back up to that plateau. But can you play him at 10-8 at this point?
I think you can in tournaments. I don't think you can in cash games. I just think he's too dependent on other people either getting or not getting minutes. And that's what kind of scares me about it. It's just kind of one of those situations where you have to kind of take it into consideration. So,
In two games against the Sixers this season, the Greek, he's got 44.9 and 40.2 FDP. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. It just I don't know. I probably won't go there that much, but I'm not gonna, you know, purposely avoid it by all stretch of the imagination. So
fair enough. What are we doing with this Sixers team? Because, you know, it seems like Covington and Sarge show pretty much all the way through and through. So any hindrances you see there?
Covington, I like more than I like Sarge.
True, true. Now, is that because, yeah, we'll see the Greek on Sarge in this one?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, Covington, you know, he's had a couple hiccups here over the last two games, but you got to keep in mind that those two hiccups came in blowout losses. Again, the Sixers have won both meetings against the Bucks this season, so they have shown that they can, you know, do this. I think that this will be a very good, a very competitive game. So when the games have been competitive, Covington has been putting up consistently, like, you know, FanDuel points around in the mid 30s, upper 30s. So this could be a good spot for him here as well. Also, I wanted to mention with Dario Saric, since he started getting most of the minutes in the Sixers rotation, he's averaging 8 more points at home as opposed to on the road here. That's 8 more fantasy points, that is.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned that, and I think that is a great thing to point out because I don't think a lot of people are going to.
All right, and then also here too, TJ McConnell has been pretty consistent over the last 10 games. He's had at least 22 FanDuel points in 9 of them, at least 24 FanDuel points in 8 of those games, and then at least 29 FanDuel points in 6 of the last 10 games. So that's something to keep in mind. Of course, Rashawn Holmes, he's played at least 24 minutes in 5 of the last 6 games. The only one that he didn't was due to foul trouble, and he still didn't even kill your lineup that day. So I think, yeah, Holmes makes for a pretty good cash game play here, as well as, you know, of course, GPP upside, especially with, Julia Okafor doubtful for this game.
Exactly. I agree.
I think we're going to see a lot of similar lineups today on FanDuel. That is just what I'm thinking. All right, let's get to the next game here. We got the Chicago Bulls at the Detroit Pistons. Pistons 5.5-point favorites here, minus 235 on the money line. Got ourselves a total of 204.5 on this one. This one actually started out Detroit 3.5 and has, again, jumped up 2 points there, 5.5. In turn, the teams have split the season series, an 11-point win in Detroit for the Pistons, and then a 31-point win for the Bulls at home in the last meeting. But if you remember, that was one of those Sherry Ma sleep games, so kind of take that one out of context. Dwayne Wade is already ruled out for this game with a thigh injury. Rajon Rondo, he's listed as questionable for this one. No injuries on the Pistons side of things. What are you looking at here?
Andre Drummond's interesting. Very interesting. And I'm kind of curious on what you think, because he just had an absolute, just completely dominant game yesterday. And we know that we can kind of attack Chicago up front. Robin Lopez is not the greatest defender. Joffrey Laverne kind of plays more of the perimeter. Bobby Portis, Nikola Mirotic aren't very good defenders. And I think Andre Drummond's going to be very low owned just because of Bismack Biyombo. Everything's going to hinder on that Vucevic news today. So.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go totally crazy here. Now, you know, Drummond was a tremendous play on Saturday there because, yeah, I didn't even care if Okafor was in or not. That was just a really undersized matchup for the Sixers to try to go at Drummond with. So, that was a huge reason why they won that game by 30. I think there are some hindrances that could get in the way of Drummond, but I don't know. If you're asking me, do I like him more than Biyombo? I don't think so. And that's kind of what every decision of a center kind of bases around today. Do you like him more than Bismack Biyombo to potentially put up 10x value in this one at minimum price? That's a tough sell for me. So I'm not going to be too interested in Drummond on this slate.
Okay.
I will say, though, no, I'm not going to say it because what I was going to say was wrong. So, in your face. What are we doing with the rest of this? I mean, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, still good value for, you know, how many minutes he plays and what he actually is priced at. I'm trying to think here what the Bulls are going to do, at shooting guard today. I guess that puts, oh boy, does MCW come back into the picture?
No. I mean, he might, but he's not playable.
No, exactly. I'm trying to think from a defensive standpoint, like who would possibly be in this lineup, because you're probably going to see Butler at the three, probably see him matched up with Marcus Morris, and then – Rondo's still even questionable. I'm sure, that could open up more minutes for Cameron Payne here for the Bulls, but it's kind of a weird situation here. Let me do some digging here, but you do some talking, all right?
Okay. look, it's Jimmy Butler. We've seen it. He's going to be chalk. He's affordable. He's one of the highest projected points. Raw points players on DS today. It's one of those things, like, you've got to make this kind of, where do you want to take chances? And I think a lot of people might go to LeBron James. I think a lot of people, I don't know. It's one of those situations where you don't want to try to get too cute on FanDuel. Now, DraftKings, you can do whatever you want because their pricing is a heck of a lot sharper. But on FanDuel, you kind of just want to let everybody else kind of make those mistakes. Sometimes it's going to pay off, sometimes it's not. I don't like FanDuel's pricing the way they've got it. But, I mean, at 9,100 on FanDuel for Jimmy Butler without Dwayne Wade, I don't care who's at the point. I don't care who's at the two. I think it's a great, great option. For Detroit, though, I do like KCP. He's still 5,300. We know he has 40-point upside. And he usually goes a little bit under-owned. And facing guys like, Anthony Morrow, Denzel Valentine, Cameron Payne, Michael Carter-Williams, whoever ends up playing a little bit of that too, Isaiah Cannon, Jerian Grant, there's a good possibility that, he's got a pretty good matchup. Now, I think that if Rajon Rondo is out, that Cameron Payne ends up getting the start. I don't know if that makes him playable. I would like to play Cameron Payne, but he has yet to crack 20 minutes since he's been with Chicago. And it's kind of just been one of those things. I don't know why he's the key centerpiece to that deal, and you're only running him out there 10, 11 minutes a night. That just doesn't make any sense. You're not going to the playoffs, and even if you are going to the playoffs, you're not really going anywhere in the playoffs. So the question is why are you not running him out there and getting him court experience?
Bam, in your face. It's interesting. I want to go back to the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope thing there, because we're probably going to see Marcus Morris draw the Jimmy Butler defense experience. I don't like that, but that could lead to more shot attempts there for KCP. If we're talking about, the funnel defense sort of thing, if more possessions go away from Morris, and we haven't seen it so much this season. Actually, we saw it a lot more, a couple of games ago, I guess I should say, but, Marcus Morris and KCP used to not do well, together. They didn't really correlate well. They've played nice together here over the last couple of games. So, if Morris isn't getting those opportunities, I think KCP is certainly the one that will definitely you know, take advantage of that.
Yeah, I agree.
I dig. Yeah, the Butler thing, I mean, look, he doesn't have the easiest matchup there against Morris, so, yeah, still, I think the at least enough repetitions there for him to get the job done. But, yeah, I could probably do away with the rest of this game with these sad, sorry saps on a 12-game slate.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Good. All right, let's get to the next one here. Golden State Warriors at the Atlanta Hawks. Warriors 5.5-point favorites here, -230 on the money line. Little intrigued by over under here at 216 in this one. Of course, Kevin Durant out for the Warriors with that. Mike Dunleavy out with the ankle injury as well. The Warriors won the only meeting this season between the two teams as a 5-point win in Oakland. Steph Curry. Hey, point guards against the Hawks, and I don't know if you could do much better here.
Yeah, exactly. This is probably where I'm going to go as far as my point guard position today. If I'm paying up, he's 10-5. He's without Kevin Durant, obviously. I mean, this is the first game where I have a lot of immense interest in. The other four right there are kind of just like, okay, yeah, I want to play this. I want to play that. I'm really kind of backloading today's slate, as far as I can tell right now. That's where my strategy is kind of coming in. It's not something that, I'm doing lightly, and it definitely could change. Make sure you stay for our VIP members. Make sure you stay in tune to Slack chat, to see if that's exactly how I am going to attack it. But that's kind of what I'm doing. This is the first game before 8 o'clock that I have a lot of, you know, severe interest in. And I mean, I don't mind Dennis Schroeder there at, 6,400. He's playing 30 plus minutes, going against Steph Curry. Now, Schroeder's a definite tournament play because he can go for 40 or he can go for 12 because, we've seen Atlanta kind of just lay eggs and just shit the bed, and not show up. They did it against, who was it the other day? Cleveland. Was it Cleveland?
Atlanta, yes. Yes, Friday okay. night.
Yeah, so. Cleveland was up like 25 points, like in the second half. And then all of a sudden I look down and they're down, or Atlanta's down like 2 in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, I asked you in Slack chat that night. I was like, how in the world did Atlanta make this comeback? Because nobody kind of dominated that night. Like, I mean, Paul Millsap had an okay game, I guess. I mean, he had 40 points. Dwight Howard, I mean, kind of had a decent game. He had 37. I mean, nobody complete. It was the way they kind of, I mean, Kent Bazemore, I mean, he had a 35-point night. They kind of just all did it together. And that was something that was kind of crazy. Nobody absolutely just blew up. They kind of just all, like, banded together and made a nice, good comeback. I don't know. I'm
Dwight Howard had a pretty good game.
Yeah, but he still only had 40 fantasy points. That's what I'm saying is nobody went absolutely completely bananas. You know, nobody dropped a 60 on them. You know, nobody was the main focal of that comeback in order to come back and make that a competitive game. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Okay. Definitely Curry for this one, but I don't mind Howard. Again, you got to do the thing. Do you like him more than Bismack Biyombo? But we've seen plenty of centers do great things against the Warriors this season. You know, the Hawks play at a pretty good pace. They're the 10th fastest in the league, but they can certainly slow it down here against this team and try to bang it in down low. I mean, there have been plenty of centers that have done some work against this Warriors team. When I think about Dwight Howard, I kind of think back to that game that Hassan Whiteside just went absolutely bananas against the Warriors in Oakland for that one. But again, it'll be a tough sell for anybody to try to come off Biombo. One Hawk I'm pretty interested here, Thabo Sefolosha. He's played 30-plus minutes in the last three games. Finally cashed in on that yesterday with the 29.2 against the Pacers. He should be pretty popular tonight, and you know, for good reason. He is one of the better defenders out there. Probably going to need him a lot more against this Warriors team. So what do you think about him?
I don't mind it. I mean, it's not like he's got somebody that he's going to be face. I mean, I guess the way that they could do it. Well, I don't know how the Hawks run their defense, but I mean, I was about to say, I guess they could put like him on, you know, Klay Thompson and have him run around the outside the whole time and, you know, everything like that. But it's kind of just one of those things, you know. Matt Barnes overtook the small forward position from Patrick McCaw and kind of makes everybody irrelevant. And so I like playing Thabo against guys that are going to handle the ball more, so he has a better chance for steals and stuff like that. But, I mean, 3,700, I can't argue with it.
All right. Anything else in this one?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. I also don't mind Dre here. Remember, stretch fours do give the Hawks some trouble this season, so Dre could be a decent play here as well.
I kind of like that. I don't mind Draymond. But we've got to understand that, you know, Paul Millsap's not a bad defender.
Nope.
I want to look into that matchup just a little bit more.
Faux show. All right, next one. Portland Trailblazers at the Minnesota Timberwolves. 4.5-point favorites are the Timberwolves in this one. -185 on the money line. We got ourselves a total of 214 in this one. In terms of injuries here, we've got Evan Turner and Ed Davis both out. Of course, Evan Turner, you know, he should be returning here in a week or two. Ed Davis out for the season there. And then, of course, Zach LaVine for the Timberwolves out for the season with the knee injury. I kind of want to start with the Timberwolves in this one because this might be a very good matchup here for Ricky Rubio and Andrew Wiggins. Karl Anthony Towns does go up against Yusuf Nurkic, who does have pretty good numbers here in terms of DRPM. So I could see, his numbers go down a little. Now, I know Karl Anthony Towns has just been absolutely phenomenal here over the last couple games. But if we're looking in terms of individual matchups, I got to think that, you know, it would be Wiggins or Rubio for this one to, you know, to really take over and, you know, have the brunt of all the work here. Ricky Rubio, of course. I mean, you know, point guards against the Portland Trailblazers is probably one of the best matchups in the game right now. But again, I got to go back to my boy Wiggins on this one. And I know, not the biggest fan of Wiggins, but I just think for, you know, the Timberwolves being favored tonight, the matchup that Karl Anthony Towns has with Nurkic, I think that this will be a very good spot for Wiggins and even a little Rubio here too.
Yeah, I guess. I've heard a lot of talk about Rubio today, and I just don't know if I can pay $7,000 for him. $6,900 on FanDuel. He is...
Well, he's my side dish in this one. Wiggins is the Chateaubriand, if you will.
I get that, but... I mean, I'm saying this as a question. Is it foreseeable that Portland puts Al-Farouq Aminu on Wiggins to kind of neutralize that matchup and put Mo Harkless on a guy like Gorgie? I mean, I know that's not a bad match. That's not a good matchup for, Harkless, but I don't know. If I'm Terry Stotts, I'm making a push for that 8 seed, and because that's they've made it known that that's what they want to do. They want to make that push, even though they'll get the Warriors or the Spurs in the first round. I kind of got to neutralize their better matchup. I guess since they are at home, I do like the the correlation pairing of both Rubio and Towns. I would not play Wiggins and Towns in the same lineup, just because I think only one of them goes off. I don't think they both go off. So that's kind of how I'm thinking that is going to go. Like I said, I could be completely wrong, but that's my idea behind it right now.
Fair enough. No, I mean, look, if I'm the Blazers, I would probably, you know, because we know Towns more of a four than he is a five. So, you know, we could see Aminu on him. I mean, there's all sorts of different things. I mean, these teams have only played each other once this season, so I'll definitely go back and, yeah, I'll try to take a look at it here while we're on air. But in terms of what the matchups will look like, I assume Harkless would go to Wiggins, but, you know, just based on what the spread says, I mean, it's not every day that the Timberwolves are favored. So, you know, that's a bit telling to me there.
It's very weird because of the fact that, you know, I think earlier when they played earlier in the season, they had guys like Evan Turner that could, and Mason Plumlee. And then you can kind of match up like that. You know, you can put Evan Turner at the three. They had Mason Plumlee, who's not a good defender. Don't get me wrong. But at least you had Al-Farouq Aminu playing the four against Gorgie. And then you've got, Karl-Anthony Towns going against Mason Plumlee. So I think that it's going to be weird how we kind of analyze this. And I'm going to have to do some major, major digging on this one. So those are my initial thoughts on how I think they're going to play it. I think they're going to try to – I would try to eliminate Andrew Wiggins, who's – I think is averaging close to 23 shots a game since the All-Star break, if I'm reading that right.
That sounds about right.
I mean, he is just shooting the ball, like, every time down court. It's unbelievable. Make no mistake about it, Karl-Anthony Towns is one of the elite players in the NBA right now. But I mean, his price jumped, just absolutely skyrocketed.
You know why? All those damn working out with Sasquatch commercials.
Oh, and, well, was that Towns that was doing that? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure, fantastic, by the way. I mean, who carries a beaver in their gym bag?
Karl-Anthony Towns.
That's right.
I mean, he's had two really bad matchups in a row, and he's actually kind of performed in those bad matchups against Utah and San Antonio. Still had over 46 DraftKings points in both of those. I like Towns more than I like Wiggins in this one, just because – even with the Nurkic, it's very – I'm going to have to go look and see what centers have done against Nurkic since he came over.
I didn't even think about this too, but there's even a chance that McCollum could play on Wiggins in this one.
Yeah, but McCollum's not – if that's the case, then I really do like Wiggins.
All right.
Because McCollum's not the – I mean, he's quicker than – you know, like a Mo Harkless as far as agility, but it's not like he's a great defender.
Okay.
So
I'm looking at the footage from January 1st when these two teams played last, and it was Harkless on Wiggins at the beginning of this one. No Damian Lillard in this one though for the Trailblazers.
Did you can answer me this? Did Evan Turner play in that game, or was he already out?
He is not in the starting lineup, but let's see here. Like, I'm taking a look right now. They've got Aminu on Karl-Anthony Towns. You got Plumlee against Dang.
Whoa, I didn't think of that.
Yeah. So you got these matchups from what I'm taking a look at now.
Yeah, this and is going to take some digging just because of the fact that the Trailblazers have kind of changed.
Yep, so. A little bit. All right. All right, let's take a look at the next game here. We have got the Indiana Pacers at the Charlotte Hornets. This is actually a TNT game tonight. Started out 2.5 in favor of the Hornets, has moved up to 3.5, -175 on the money line. 205 is the total now, which actually came down a lot of points from the original 209 number. If we're looking in terms of injuries in this one, LaVoy Allen's questionable for the Pacers with a knee injury. And, of course, the big one here, Frank Kaminsky, is actually going to miss 10 to 14 days, apparently, with that shoulder injury. So, you know, I know we talked about this earlier, but at the beginning of the day, you know, it seemed like Biombo is pretty much a clear-cut choice at the center position, but got a little bit of competition now there.
Yeah, this, as we've gone longer and longer and seen, and some of this news has already started to hit, we've seen the center position kind of open up more and more and more. And, I mean, look, I'm not saying that Cody Zeller is a better play than Biombo, but I am saying that, he is definitely a very, very interesting tournament pivot.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I ask you this with everything, you know, is it better than Biombo at min price, or are you just trying to get, you know, differentiation going with this one?
I think if you're rolling out two or three lineups on FanDuel, Biombo would be in two of them, and then you have to decide what you want to do with the third one. I don't think he's a better play. I think he's going to be definitely a lower owned play. As far as my script is concerned, if I were to have, say, 50% Biombo, I'd probably have 15 or 20%, Cody Zeller. I mean, depending, Biombo's still the better play, but it's not like Cody Zeller's a bad play. And it's that if they were both 5,000, I would probably lean more towards Zeller. But with, you're talking like at least a $1,500 to $2,000 difference between Cody Zeller and Bismack Biombo, it's still Biombo.
Okay. Now we talked about this a little bit, you know, prior to the show, but this is a game that was interesting because I look back at some of the numbers from now. These teams have played, you know, twice already. This will be the third time. Not many great fantasy performances from either side here. So you got Kemba Walker, who did have a good game here against the Pacers, but that was back all the way back on November 7th, where he had 46.4 FanDuel points. Now we look on the Pacers side of things, Miles Turner was the best with 40.4 in that one. I mean, Paul George had a game that was close, but you look around those guys, not many other good performances here. So, you know, I kind of see that with both teams. I mean, when we look at them, we pretty much have our set guys in mind, and then the other pieces, we never really know what we're going to get. So I don't really see this one being any different.
Yeah, Paul George is a kind of an enigma. I don't ever know what to kind of do with him. Oh my god,
I just saw.
Yeah. I don't know if I can even go to Paul George in this matchup. I try not to make a living picking on Michael Carter Williams Michael Kidd-Gilchrist defense.
We'd all be out of business.
Yeah, no kidding. But the way that the Hornets have been running defense lately, it's not like it's a bad matchup, you know. It's just a bad price for him. I mean, $7,900 on DraftKings. What is he on FanDuel here? He is 8,000. I think he's an easy X button to me.
Sure.
He's just not.
Now, I was going to say, too, when we look at this match, I mean, these aren't exactly the most advantageous matchups that we're looking at for each side, except for down low. So I can see why most of these guys have, you know, not put up the greatest numbers here.
I do have some interest in Nicholas Batum, though.
Okay.
And maybe even some Marvin Williams. Marvin Williams is only 5,200. He's going to get Thaddeus Young,
defense. True. Maybe Kevin Serafin a little bit. Maybe some C.J. Miles or Glenn Robinson if they decide to go small. What could really mess that up is if they decide to put Paul George on defense at the four against him. That could really, really mess things up for my plan there. But, yeah, I do like Nicholas Batum going against guys like Monte Ellis, Rodney Stuckey is never – and C.J. Miles is never a bad option there. And I think for me, the point guards – at least Jeff Teague is, he's kind of outpriced his production for me. And I'm probably going to have a little bit of Kemba Walker, but maybe not a lot. Definitely not on FanDuel. I'll have more Kemba Walker on DraftKings. So
say our boy, Paulie George there, first half of yesterday's game, apparently he went off. And then the second half, see ya. There's our Paul George that we know. Yeah. I didn't really get a chance to see any of it, but from
do you
what
think
I hear,
that maybe he's just like, okay, he had the injury a couple years ago, and I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but I'm really kind of enamored by the enigma that is Paul George right now, because in my opinion, he was one of the elite players in the NBA last year. I mean, he started off slow coming off of the injury and everything, but which was to be expected. But then he really kind of turned it up and turned it on. And this year, he's just not been the same guy. But he did play in the Olympics this last summer.
Right.
You know, do you think that maybe, like, all of the minutes and everything is just taking a toll on him during the NBA season this year?
Could, very well could. I mean, that's a good point that you bring up. I mean, I've never snapped my leg in half, so I have no idea. But yeah, I think, you present an interesting case, though.
So that's just, I mean, I was thinking about that the other day, so.
If you were a lawyer on Law & Order, you would have heard the da-da in the background with that one. It was such an intriguing take.
Yep, absolutely. The da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to go there. It was just going to be the dramatic, duh, like when you know somebody's in deep shit, you know, and
there you go.
They drop that duh, in the background.
Yep. I agree.
What do you want me to tell you? I know my TV, folks.
Yes,
what do you want me to tell you? Yeah, I don't mind that Marvin Williams play either. Again, he's going to be seeing a ton of minutes, so I don't mind that. All right, let's get to the next one here. Brooklyn Nets at the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizzlies, 12-point favorites in this one, minus 1150 on the money line. 213.5 is our total. Let me just start this off by saying I don't think anybody from the Nets is a good option tonight, and let's just go on to the Grizzlies.
I was going to ask you how much Grizzlies exposure you're going to have because, I mean, yeah, they're all in good matchups, but I mean, couldn't you kind of see just like an evenly distributed game? I mean, okay, let's make this very well known. The Grizzlies are very, very, like, I don't want to say set in their ways, but they are. They're very set in their ways. It's one of those things that I'm very intrigued about. It's one of two major questions that I've got to answer for myself, and everybody playing the NBA slate's got to answer for themselves tonight. One of those things is the Grizzlies could just use this kind of as like a quote unquote scrimmage at first, and you know, try to keep everybody involved, get those guys that are struggling, try to work on some things, you know, because they're doing very well, obviously. And with all the injuries that they had to deal with at the beginning of the season, this is kind of one of those things that they're completely healthy now. So it's very interesting because, I mean, every single starter's in a great matchup tonight.
Right.
You know, you got Mike Conley. And I'm not trying to predict a blowout here. But on the flip side,
you know, everybody was like, well, I'm not going to play, you know, we're only expecting three quarters out of the Portland Trailblazers on, you know, at home with the Brooklyn Nets. And yet Brooklyn had a chance to kind of win it there going in late. And they had a shot. Like they were, they made some mistakes going down the stretch run, but make no mistake about it. They kept that game close. And for all of us that played Portland Trailblazers, we were excited to see that. I'll have a little bit of exposure to guys like Mike Conley and Mark Gasol. The guys that I'm really kind of focusing on here, though, are guys like Jamichael Green. Guys like... Oh, hell. James Enos, maybe, in tournaments. Just because, like... Or Chandler Parsons. I don't know. It's I really like Jamichael Green in the spot. He starts and then he kind of just he still is there in mop up duty. He's still playing. He's gonna play close to around 22 to 29 minutes, just depending on what's going on in the game. Sometimes he has a good game, other times he doesn't. Looks like he kind of got out of that shooting funk that he had been in for the last month or so, and that's really kind of interesting to. Think about, I mean, Marc Gasol, 8,100, obviously he's affordable and he's a good play against Brooklyn and Brook Lopez. Mike Conley at 7,800. I mean,
well, let's look at it from this way, right? So the last time these two teams played, the Nets actually kind of kept it close, but you know, they were playing some decent ball. That game was in Brooklyn. Okay, whatever. I don't think the Grizzlies necessarily played their best game. When you look back at that one, it was Gasol and Conley who had the best nights.
Weren't they kind of banged up a little bit, too? This was earlier in the season, wasn't it?
Wasn't too long ago. I can't remember. I can't give you an exact date on it, but I believe it was after the New Year. But, yeah, I think it was even in February at some point. I'll check back on that, but yeah, look, Conley and Gasol are by far they were both very similar in terms of FanDuel point. I believe Conley was right behind Gasol in that one, so that's probably where I'm going to go. But if I'm looking at some side dishes, if you will, maybe Tony Allen, he still intrigues me with the amount of minutes he plays and how many things he can do on the stat sheet. And then, you know, Zach Randolph's been having a lot of great games. If you take away that game on Saturday against the Rockets, you know, Z-Bo don't do back-to-backs, all right? Z-Bo does a lot of things, but he don't do back-to-backs. He absolutely crushed it against the Mavs on Friday. And then, you know, like I said, Z-Bo just don't do back-to-backs. So he could be back for this one, though.
Yeah, I think he's back. You know, that's why Jamichael Green got a little bit more run and was able to do more things. They kind of stuck him out there and let it kind of go. They played on February 13th, so I'm looking at that box score right now. Yes, it was in Brooklyn. It was a 112-103 game. The issue with that game was that, you know, I believe Vince Young or Tony Allen didn't play. Yeah, what did I say?
Vince Young. That Texas football on mine.
No, I think I just saw a blurb about Brandon Cooks possibly getting traded to the Titans. Andrew Harrison didn't play, which make no mistake about it. He's a very talented backup point guard. I might go to... Brandon Wright played. Vince Carter played. I mean, you had your starters playing big minutes, and then nobody for Brooklyn, as expected, got over 28 fantasy points. And that was Brook Lopez, who barely got there, and Sean Kilpatrick got to 27. This game might be a complete fade for me, too. On a 12-game slate, other than Mike Conley and Mark Gasol, and then maybe a little bit of Zebo, maybe a little bit of Jermichael Green, depending on what I decide. It could be the get the old X button or uncheck button for me.
Fair enough. All right, let's get to the next one here. Houston Rockets at the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs 4-point favorites in this one, -165 on the money line. Total was initially at 219, but has jumped up 3 points to 222 in this one. No significant injuries here for either side, but we do have some things to break down here. I don't even know how to say this. I don't even know what the Webster's dictionary word is for it. But
conundrum?
two things that you think would go one way, and both of them are going the opposite way. So what we're talking about here is James Harden's career against the Spurs. It has not been good at all. It's been absolutely terrible. But his three performances against them this season have all gone for 50 plus fantasy points. And then, you know, we look on the other side of things with Kawhi Leonard. We would think that he would be toast in the Rockets and all of these. But we look at the last two seasons and what he is priced at currently. He's only exceeded that mark twice in terms of 5X value. He's only exceeded that twice over the last seven matchups. I guess we start with Harden since he is an MVP candidate here. I know that, people might be off of him, in lieu of what's gone on since the Lou Williams trade. But, he has posted, FTP totals of 53.4 and 56.9 over the last three games. Two of those weren't exactly the easiest matchup. But, what are we doing with him today? Because he could be an interesting GPP option.
Yeah, he could be. But then we're breaking a commandment. We've talked about this. About breaking the commandments and having to redo this when he became the de facto point guard against the Spurs. I'm going to have to go back and watch these games because I don't think that Greg Popovich put Kawhi Leonard on Greg Harden at any point in these games. Maybe when they got some switches and stuff like this, but then we also have to take out the fact that Lou Williams was not a part of any three of these games. Look, one of the commandments is thou shalt fade James Harden against San Antonio. And I think at 12,000 on FanDuel or 11,900 on FanDuel, we can possibly safely do that. However, I think at... Well, maybe even then at 11.5. I think at 11.5, he's worth discussion. I think people might default to what he's done this season and, say, okay, well, what he's done this season against the Spurs, the role changed and everything like this. He no longer has to worry about those career numbers against the Spurs. He's kind of turned it around. I would be so... hard to say that yes, he has turned it around, but now he has Lou Williams to kind of take off the load in that situation, and we need to pay attention to that. So the situation has changed. There's no way that Houston can catch San Antonio. Like, San Antonio would have to go on a 6-game losing streak, which isn't going to happen, and Houston would have to go on a 6-game winning streak at the same time. The odds of it happening are, I would say, slim to none. So there's no way that, San Antonio can take over the two, or Houston could take over the two seed from San Antonio. So I don't think we have to worry about that. But I think what we do have to worry about is, where is the ownership going to be with these guys?
I mean, here's the thing. When we take a look at, Harden's slip-ups here, look, if the games are close and competitive, he's doing just fine.
But he's not hitting 60 or 70 anymore.
No, I get that. But this, that, I mean, this could be a match. If this is going to be, you know, the Spurs in a 222 total is like me in a church on Sunday. You know, like we're not seeing it too often. So I don't – that part of it is intriguing. I know that Harden's price is absolutely ridiculous through the roof now at 11.9 for, you know, for what he's doing here. But, I mean, I think we do have enough to afford him tonight. You know, there's going to be plenty of value out there. So I think if you do want to get weird in tournaments tonight, you can definitely do it. But is it the smartest dollar per point move? No.
But is
definitely
it getting
not.
That weird? I mean, seriously, is it getting that weird this season with the role that James Harden has now? And we've seen three games over 50 points. Are people right. going to default to that? And go, oh, okay, he's averaged 50 points, and just take away, you know, the rest of his career. I don't know. I know there's a lot of unanswered questions on this pod right now, but it's a 12-game slate. I'm leaning right now to fading James Harden and going back to the Ten Commandments, just because it's new information. There's Lou Williams there and everything like that. I would rather, I think, go and get exposure to guys like Lou Williams, Eric Gordon, maybe a Patrick Beverley, guys like that, maybe even a Ryan Anderson. So, I think I would rather get exposure to Harden that way rather than paying the $12,000 or $11,500.
Okay.
And that's just my initial thought. This could definitely 100% change. But, you know, right now, the Domination Station has James Harden kind of listed as under a four value. I mean, he's not even in the top 15 as far as value. He doesn't even show up on the first page.
Oh, no, Jimmy.
So,
Jimmy James.
I don't know.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. What do you got here with Kawhi Leonard? I mean, I've documented some of his recent struggles against the Rockets, which is so surprising because this matchup against Trevor Ariza is one that he should be clubbing him over the head in. I mean, I still think even with those recent struggles, if we're talking about some of our elite price talent tonight, and yeah, I'm gonna throw Kawhi in there. I don't think it really gets any better from a dollar per point perspective. What do you think?
I like it. I really do.
It's tough to like it though, given what we've got, like given what we see, but. I mean, just looking at this matchup, I don't know how you kind of shy off of it.
Yeah, again, it goes to – oh, shit. Excuse me. Shit. Excuse my language. They posted – oh, crap. Congrats, DraftKings. I love you. I love you. You are amazing, and I love you.
I feel a butt coming real quick.
No, there is no butt, and it has nothing to do with NBA. I hate the fact that it's on a 12-game slate. Damn. I think it's going to go to depending on how much weight are people going to put on recent performances and matchups against the Rockets. I like Kawhi. He is one of my favorite plays over 9K today on draft or on FanDuel. And it's kind of besides. You know, Steph and another guy that we'll get to here shortly. It's not even close.
How about you're going to see – all right, let's put it this way. You've got Jimmy Butler without Dwayne Wade and tough matchup against the Pistons there. And then you got Kawhi here. Now, on FanDuel, they're $100 separation from the two. Which one do you go with here?
I go with Kawhi. I go in the higher total. I don't want to say it's an easier matchup. I would say it's about the same matchup. But
If gun to my head, I would go Kawhi.
Okay.
So he's just got better players around him. You know, his assists can actually be up there, too. You know, you're not, for Jimmy Butler, you're relying on guys like, you know, Michael Carter Williams, Cameron Payne, Rajon Rondo if he plays, Jerian Grant, Bobby Portis, Nikola Mirotic. You can get hot, don't get me wrong. But for Kawhi, you've just got a better, I would go with the better player on the better team. And okay. Make no mistake about it, I think they're both very, very good players. Probably one and two defensively in the NBA. And they're by far in a way, or at least at that position. And it's a distant third to, in my opinion, Andre Robertson, who's number three. Just on the defensive end, not the offensive guys. Don't shit a brick. So I would think that those two are far and away defensively ahead, but I like Kawhi's offensive game a little bit better than Jimmy's, because I don't know. It might be personal bias, just because I see more Kawhi Leonard than I do Jimmy Butler, being where I am in the country. But I would go Kawhi.
Okay, one guy from each side that I want to get your opinion on before we move on. LaMarcus Aldridge, he's been pretty good here over the last two games, a 43 and a 37, in matchups against the Pelicans and the Timberwolves. Yay or nay on him for tonight?
Say that a little bit slower one more time. So, and not just for me, so I can think about it, but so everybody else can kind of grasp what you just said.
LaMarcus Aldridge, okay, matchup against the Rockets. It's a good one. They are allowing the most points in the paint per game this season. He's had FDP FanDuel point totals of 37 and 43 in the last two games, both of those coming against the Pelicans and the Timberwolves. Do you like him tonight or not?
I do. Okay. In small doses.
All right.
We've seen LaMarcus Aldridge in the Spurs offense now for 2 years have the ability to just kind of disappear. And it goes depending on obviously what the centers can do or what the centers do. It depends on what Kawhi's doing, what the guards are doing. So if you're asking me, do I like LaMarcus Aldridge, the answer is yes. Do I like him enough to have him in a quarter of my script lineups? No.
Ooh, interesting.
Because I would rather have Kristaps if he's playing against Orlando. I'd rather have Dario Saric. And then there's some power forwards at the power forward position. There's some other ones at the lower end that I'd rather load up on.
Gotcha. Keep in mind, too, very encouraging for Aldridge. He has played. Did the Spurs Timberwolves game go to overtime Saturday?
Yes, it did.
It did. All right. So this is two. The Spurs are coming off two overtime games, too, which kind of sucks. But Aldridge has played a combined 84 minutes over the last two games. And one guy for the Rockets, I think, is interesting. Nene Hilario. He has posted 20-plus fantasy points in five of the last six games. He's 4,500 on both sites. I mean, they're going to need his body against the Spurs. So what do you think about him?
I don't mind it.
I think more for DraftKings, I would say, because, of course, Biombo is a much better dollar-per-point player.
Yeah, I'm trying to find his DraftKings got me all on full craziness tilt. And it's not their fault, but they tweeted at me and they got me really excited. He's 3,800 on DraftKings, and you're right. He's going to play close to 20 minutes a game. He does a little bit better in these bigger matchup games where the Rockets need him. It's unfortunate because it's pretty much made Montrezl Harrell irrelevant, and it's made Sam Decker kind of irrelevant. Sam Decker's he could go 12 minutes, he could go 20 minutes, but he's irrelevant now as far as fantasy purposes. Clint Capella, he'll play 26 to 29. And I actually, if you were asking me which one between the two I like more, what is Clint Capella on draft on FanDuel? 51. I would probably go with Capella on FanDuel and Nene on DraftKings.
So he is 3,800 there, huh? Interesting. DraftKings? Yeah.
Yes, he's.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's.
I'm sorry, I had that written down wrong.
No, you're fine.
Good to know.
What'd you have him at?
I 4,500 on both sites, but when I look at the prices, I have Basketball Monster up, and I have the. I guess I just had the. I read that on the FanDuel one. I put it on there. No biggie.
Yep.
All right, let's get to the next matchup here. New Orleans Pelicans at the Utah Jazz. Jazz 6.5-point favorites here. -260 on the money line. The slate's lowest total by a wide margin here at 198.5 in this one. That's telling me a lot here about this matchup, and I don't like it. We got Joe Johnson out for the Jazz. He's going to be out for a while here with the groin injury. Shelvin Mack probably going to be out too with the ankle injury. He hasn't cracked the rotation in a while, so he's irrelevant. And then Jarrett Jack. The newly acquired Jarrett Jack from the Pelicans is questionable with a knee injury in this one. Jazz, both teams on the back end of a back-to-back in this one. And keep in mind, for the Jazz, Rodney Hood did not play the last time that the Jazz had a back-to-back. So just watch out for that with the late news. Where are you looking for this one?
You know, for being a 12-game slate, there's not a lot that I really do like. However, on DraftKings, where they price guys down against guys like San Antonio, Memphis, Utah, I really do like Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. Mm. I've got to look into some matchups. I think that Boogie does better. Why is there no line on this game?
I had 6.5.
I've got it offline. Hold on. Let me refresh here.
You need a better site.
Pinnacle had it offline. Okay, no, they've got it up now. I've got it 7. Okay. I think this goes for. I think this is better for Boogie than it is. Anthony Davis, just because it's a slower paced game, and we've kind of talked about this. When it's going to be a slower pace game, then, you know, I kind of would want to lean more towards Boogie than, you know, Anthony Davis. So,
sure.
Game log against Utah last 3 seasons. Boogie's had some pretty good games against Utah. He's had some not so good ones too. And when I say not so good, I mean by like, you know, earlier this year, he had a 34 and then a 35 and a 34 against him. But he has had, you know, a 57, basically a 58 and a 57.5 against him as well. So, and then Anthony Davis has had a 63 against him before, but has also had a 33. So I think they're both tournament options. I think you should probably have a little bit of exposure to them if you're making multiple lineups, but not they should not be a main focal point of your rosters. Like, they should not be a part of your core.
Gotcha. But I have no feelings on this one. I don't know. Anything
those are the only
here?
Two guys. Those are really the only two guys I have any interest in from this game.
Okay, fair enough. That is good enough for me. All right, Let's take a look here. Two more games left to get to. Sacramento Kings at the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets, a whopping 13-point favorite here, minus 1,400 on the money line, a total of 217.5 in this one. Kenneth Faried is going to be out with the back injury for the Nuggets. And then the big news that came across here, Nikola Jokic, questionable with the illness for this one. For the Kings, Malachi Richardson is out with the hamstring injury. Interesting to note here, though, the Kings have won both meetings this season. That was in the Boogie era, though, so keep that in mind. Wow, I'm shocked with the 13-point spread here. So what are you looking at?
Let's see. We go on back into back-to-backs going into Denver.
Right.
What do we normally do here?
We typically avoid the shit out of the team in that situation. Keep in mind the Nuggets get a little extra – or I'm sorry, the Kings get a little extra rest here because, remember, I think their game ended – they had a pretty early game yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
No, they didn't.
I believe they did.
They played
– what? Played Utah yesterday, right?
Yeah. It was the game before. It was the game before. Now it might started a little bit earlier, but it was still. Yeah. It was the game before the Oklahoma City game, so it's still a later afternoon game. And we're still talking about going. I mean, yeah, maybe a couple hours.
Yeah. All right. You're right. You're right.
But still not. Not like. You know, freaking or it's not like that big of a difference. I mean, we're still talking about going into altitude into Denver after playing in altitude, going through all of that. It's still not something I want to touch, which is it sucks because not Karl-Anthony Towns, Willie Cauley-Stein is in a fantastic matchup, especially since Fareed's out. There's possibly no Jokic. That's going to make – and here's your bull call of the day. If you tell me Bismack Biyombo or Juancho Hernangómez, I'm going Juancho.
Okay.
Like in tournaments, not in cash games, obviously. But in tournaments, I would go Juancho as quote unquote more exposure, just because. Well, maybe not. I'm starting to look at this now. He's 3,800. He's mint salary on FanDuel. That's why I said that. But he's 3,800 on DraftKings. He can actually hit the three. I mean, we saw what he did. What was that game where he went absolutely? It was against Golden State. 9 of 17. 6 of 9 from 3 points, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. Sorry, 1 steal. Went off for 50. He's still around that 3,800 mark. I'm gonna have exposure to him because, you know, even if Jokic quote unquote plays, there's not. I think this brings Mason Plumlee into consideration 100% though.
Yeah, I think it brings into consideration again. Better than Biyombo.
Whoa! When did?
Come on.
When did Denver get Roy Hibbert?
They made a move at the deadline for him.
That went completely unbeknownst to me. Like I, like that's such an insignificant deal to me until right now. That because I was like, I was going to be like, well, Mason Plumlee has nobody behind him except for Juancho. Because Darrell Arthur is kind of interesting, maybe. Maybe he gets some more run tonight. Also, Wilson Chandler. We can't forget about this. I think Wilson Chandler and Danilo Gallinari are going to be both in play because I think Wilson now plays more at the four. And Danilo gets to play more at the three. So if I'm going to have exposure to this game, it's going to be all, well, except for Tyreke Evans, because he didn't play yesterday.
Gotcha. That is true. very true.
Tyreek would be the only guy from Sacramento I would have exposure to, just because of the fact that he did not play, and that's if he's active. And I will probably have a couple teams with him, if we don't get word. But if we do get word, then it's kind of one of those things that, you know, you've got to decide. So, but
fair enough.
I think we're on the normal fade going into Denver kick that we normally have been.
Yep, sounds good. I have no disagreements with what you said with anything, so it doesn't really make sense to double over it. Let's just get to the last game of the night here. We've got the Boston Celtics at the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers originally were 5-point favorites, has jumped up now to 6.5, minus 285 on the money line or the Clippers, and we got a total 217 for this one. I love all of the Clippers matchups for this game. You got the Celtics who are on the back end of a back-to-back. They had a really tough fought game in Phoenix last night. You know, every time we talk about the Celtics, we got to bring up whoever Isaiah Thomas is going to be on. So Chris Paul gets that, you know, best statistical matchup of the night going up against Isaiah Thomas. And then, again, I have no idea what, you know, there's not enough spinach in the world for the Celtics to eat for them to body up with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan in this matchup. So I think all three are firmly in play again.
Yeah, I agree. It's been kind of pick your poison. They haven't really – the Clippers – I mean, we talk about the Boston Celtics just absolutely not playing well lately. We can say the same thing about the Clippers. I mean, they just have not been playing well, and I think that has a lot to do with kind of reacclimating Chris Paul after he had that surgery. And then it's kind of just one of those things. I like all three of them, don't get me wrong. I'm completely off of all Boston Celtics not named Al Horford. And it's not because I don't think that Al Horford could stop what the Clippers want to do. I just don't think that the Clippers can stop what Al Horford is going to want to do today. Plus he got the day off yesterday. So, and from everything that I've seen, that was just due to rest. I would not be surprised to see, Isaiah Thomas rest tonight. To be completely honest, it looks like he is just gassed. And if that does happen, then we have got to have the discussion about Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart going against Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bold statement that you bring up there with Thomas not even playing for this one. But, I mean, he wasn't on my radar anyway going head-to-head against Chris Paul. But, yeah, I mean, look, Marcus Smart's been playing a lot of minutes regardless of what's been going on. Even when Avery Bradley has been in the lineup, he's still been getting 30-plus minutes. Still at a very favorable price there. I know yesterday his price dipped down like $100, but I'm sure it didn't go too far one way or the other. So
yeah, Avery Bradley's actually interesting here just because of the fact that he rested yesterday too. And he's got a pretty good matchup against like J.J. Redick and Jamal Crawford and Austin Rivers. So maybe Austin Rivers is the play tonight.
He very well could be. I mean, still getting big minutes. He's had a couple flops here over the last couple games. But I do like that Smart play a little more now that you mentioned everything. You know, even if Isaiah Thomas is gassed and he still plays, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, he won't be playing minutes while this game is significant. I really just do not see the Celtics competing in this game. They just have so many bad matchups down low, and of course, you know, the Chris Paul against Isaiah Thomas thing. I just, you know, I know you try not to predict blowouts, but I think this one's all Clippers.
I don't really think that this is a blowout per se. I think that it's a good close game. My whole thing is, you know, because of how bad both teams have been playing, it's very, very hard to kind of predict exactly who has the advantage. Because, I mean, it's not like the Clippers have been blowing people out of the water either. I mean,
right.
So that's my whole thing is
it's extremely hard to kind of figure out exactly how this is going to play out. That's why I said, I mean, yes, Isaiah Thomas, he put up a 47 last night. Not points, but fantasy points. But that was his first game over 40 in a while. He even after the All-Star break and everything, I mean, he just kind of looks gassed. And I think there's more important games than a Western Conference matchup with the Los Angeles Clippers. So
speak on it. All right. Anything else from this one before we get out of here for the day?
No, not from this one. But for those of you that are MLB fans, DraftKings, if you want to know what I was kind of flipping out about, DraftKings has posted World Baseball Classic contests. Join the talk in the MLB section of Slack chat. We shall be in there. We shall be looking over things. I will try to pull double duty as best as I can today, at least for the first one. If not, then we shall be discussing the later matchups. So I knew they were going to have World Baseball Classic stuff. They released the contest for Friday's USA game already. They did that last week, and I did not see anything for this morning's game, which I'm currently have on DVR watching right now. But, yeah, kind of excited. It means baseball is getting closer.
Woo! So, let me some baseball.
Yep.
All right, if you're not a member with us, make sure you join us. DFSArmy.com. Today's actually a free Monday, so you know, if you're not a member with us, you can even check it out. And even when you do, there'll be all sorts of promo codes for the free Monday type stuff. But why don't you just use the promo code podcast? That gives us a little bit of a bonus. So use that. It'll get you 20% off each month. And, you know, again, you get access to that Slack chat where me, Keith, and everybody else in the Army is pretty much 24/7. You're also going to get Keith's Boomers Ballers sheet, which you'll get a preview of that today as well. The updated projections you'll be able to see as well. And, you know, just the domination station, which really does great things if you're busy throughout the day and you can't do research or listen to a podcast or whatever. It really helps you out just in terms of, you know, making some money and getting everything done in an effective way. With no podcast tomorrow, there's only three games on the NBA slate, but, you know, we'll be around for the rest of the week after that. And I understand that going a day without hearing our voices will happen, but you'll get us for the rest of the week. So any closing thoughts for today, Keith?
Nope. Let's have some fun. Let's make some money.
You know it. All right. DFSArmy.com. We out. Peace.
Peace out.